We begin the current daf Masechet Pesachim daf Peivav. We begin on the bottom Peihei Amud Beis, three lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, in our Mishnah in the previous daf, the Mishnah told us regarding the halacha of the psul of Yotze, of going out from its designated area. That's regarding old kachim, and specifically for Karban Pesach, which is what we're discussing, which is kachim kalim, it's not allowed to go out of the area of Yerushalayim. Now, Yerushalayim is surrounded by a wall. So where exactly is the line of demarcation, which is removing it from inside Yerushalayim to outside? So our Mishnah discussed exactly what's with the doorway itself, the inside of the doorway, the outside. One of the items mentioned in our Mishnah was that hachloinis, regarding the windows in the wall of Yerushalayim, v'oivei achayim, and the thickness of the wall itself, on the top of the wall, that is, although we said that the gateways themselves don't have the kedusha of Yerushalayim, and they're like outside, however, regarding the windows and the top of the wall, on that we gave it a status kilifnim, it has halachic status as it's still inside Yerushalayim. Now on that Amar Rav, Rav says, however, Gagin, the roofs, the aliyos, and the upper stories, and that is in both in reference to the two items as we spoke about in the previous daf, which our Mishnah, the Rish, and the Seif are talking about Yerushalayim and the sanctity of the Azar, the courtyard, and the Beis HaMikdash, regarding both of them, regarding the roofs in the courtyard, for that's the halachic status of the courtyard, and regarding the roofs in Yerushalayim and the aliyos, the upper stories in both of these areas, loy niskachu, they did not have the kedusha of their respective areas, and that is although that, let's say you would have in the Azara a roof, it does not have the status and the kedusha of the Azara, and the same thing applies to Yerushalayim. Not the Gemara asks, is that really so? But v'ha'amar Rav, Rav himself said, Mishum Rebchiya, Kizesa Pischa, that just the size of an olive of the Karban Pesach, what that means is that's the minimum amount you could have the Karban Pesach. So he's saying that there were large groups of those that would eat on the Karban Pesach, that each person was only able to get a kezias, the helela, and the large sounds of the noise that was coming from all the people, because there were so many people, that everyone was only able to get just a kezias, the Karban Pesach, and the hal that they were reciting by the Seder night, Paki Igra, it smashed the roofs. Basically what that means is it was as if the roof was breaking, was caving in because of the loud noise of the howl that they were saying in the Karban Pesach. As the Gemara says later on, Davtzah the Hamad Aleph, that by the first Karban Pesach on the night of Tezrav Nisan, you have to say howl on the consumption. So the Gemara continues on the top of Peivav Med Aleph, my love. So it sounds like that this was on the roofs of the house. So it sounds like the Achli Be'igra, that they ate on the roof, which sounds like that the roofs of Yerushalayim do have the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, again, because you can't take the Karban Pesach out of Yerushalayim. And the Amri Be'igra, and they said, howl on the roof of the houses in Yerushalayim. So therefore, that contradicts what Rav had said. Rav said that the roofs and the aliyahs, the upper stories, do not have the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. If that's the case, they wouldn't be able to eat the Karban Pesach. But yet, here we see that they were saying howl, that it was almost like the noise was breaking down the roofs, that you see that you could eat the Karban Pesach on the roof. And that contradicts Rav, who said that it doesn't have the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, and hence he wouldn't be able to eat it there. Another Gemara says, Loi, the Achli Ba'ara. They ate the Karban Pesach on the ground, which has the sanctity of Yerushalayim. The Amri Be'igra, and when they finished, then they said howl on the roofs. They went up there, and on the rooftops, they were saying the howl, and that's not a problem, because that you don't need the sanctity of Yerushalayim. The Karban Pesach was stayed on the ground, which has the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Not the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so? Can they do that? Can they eat in the Karban Pesach and then remove themselves to say howl on the roof? But right now we learn in the Mishnah later on, Kofi Tesam Abeis, and this phrase is commonly known from the response of one of the four sons in the Haggadah of the son of the Chacham. So the halacha that says in that Mishnah is, Ein Maftirin, which means to say when it comes time to remove oneself, which is what the word Maftirin means, from the meal, one is not allowed to remove himself achra Pesach, after you finally eat the Karban Pesach, which is the last thing to be eaten at the Seder night, when people are satisfied, because the way the obligation of all Karbanis are, as the Gemara says, Masech Deschulin, is that it says Lamashcha, which means to say it has to be for greatness, just like kings eat, which is that they eat when they're satiated. So that's like the final thing. They're not eating ravenously hungry. So the last thing that's eaten is the Karban Pesach. So we cannot remove ourselves from eating the Karban Pesach by doing afikaimen. Now, what does afikaimen mean? So in this context, afikaimen means from the word afiku manaihu, which means to say, remove your vessels from here, and let's go eat somewhere else. That's what it would mean. And that is what the Mishnah later on says. You can't do that. You can't, when you finish the Karban Pesach, say, hey, let's go finish up somewhere else. Vama Rav, and Rav said, by way of an explanation, that it means, shelo yekru mechabur lechabur, that you should not remove yourself from one group to another group. You have to eat in one group. And therefore, how were they able to do this? To eat over here, then go say halal over there. You can't remove it. Ein maftir in achar Pesach, one cannot remove himself after eating the Karban Pesach, afi kaimin, by saying, hey, let's take our stuff elsewhere. Let's continue the Seder. It's a long night. Let's go somewhere else. You can't do that. So how can you say that the eat on the ground as a way of resolution for Rav, that it has to stay on the ground because there's no Kedusha on the roofs, and then they went up to the roof, but you can't remove yourself. Nothing more says Leikash, it's not a contradiction, because Khan, over here, in other words, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Testament Beis that says that Eim Aftirin, you can't remove your vessels and go somewhere else, that's B'Shas Achila, that's during when you're eating the Karban Pesach, that you can't go elsewhere. Here, where we're saying that they were only saying halal on the roof, that was not during the eating of the Karban Pesach. That's because the reading of the recitation of the halal was done afterwards, the way our Seder has it, after Tzav and Berach halal, then comes Nirtza, so the halal was said afterwards, and that's why it's not a contradiction to Rav, and that's why they were able to go ahead and remove themselves to a different area up to the roof. So the Gemara says, Toshma again continues to try to bring a proof, not like Rav, that it seems that the roofs were Kaddish, that they do have a Kedusha, not like Rav, who says that the roofs do not have the sanctity, neither of when it's in the Azara, of the Azara, and Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. The Brisa says, Abishol Oymer, Abishol says, Aliyas Beis Kotche HaKaddishim, the upper stories of the holiest of holies, Chamurim Beis Kotche HaKaddishim, has a greater sanctity, more stringent, than the Kotche HaKaddishim itself. And the reason is, Shabbos Kotche HaKadoshim, because by the Kotche HaKadoshim, Kohen Gadol nichnas lepamachas bashana. The Kohen Gadol, the most holiest person, would go in there at least once a year on Yom Kippurim to bring in the Keteris, the incense, and he would throw the blood between the bottom of the Yaron. However, Va'aliyah Shabbos Kotche HaKadoshim, however, the upper stories of the Kotche HaKadoshim, Ein nichnasin, the people would never go in, even the Kohen Gadol, lepamachas b'shavua, only once in the Shemitah, once every 7 years. V'amrila, and some say pamayim b'shavuah, okay, 2 times in every 7 years. V'amrila pamachas b'yevah, and some say once every 50 years. Lay down, what was the reason? To know mahi tzricha, to know what was necessary. Maybe the wall would have a crack in there and it would need to be fixed. However, it definitely was greater of sanctity because we see that the greater the sanctity, the less often people go in, like we see by the Kotche HaKadoshim. And here we're once a year, once every 7 years, or twice every 7 years, or once in every 50 years, definitely had a greater sanctity. But one thing that we do see is not like Rav, that we see that the Aliyahs, the upper stories, do have Kedusha, and he said that it doesn't have, it didn't, wasn't the Skadish, only the ground, not the roofs and not the upper elevated areas. And that Amr Rabbi Yisrael says, wait a second, Mehechel Nekim Menesiv Inish, somebody's going to go ahead and ask on Rav from the sanctuary, from the Hechel of the Beis HaMikdash? What do you mean, Shani Hechel? Don't bring me a proof from the Hechel. The Hechel is different. And that is, yes, Rav would agree that there the upper stories do have a Kedusha. The Chassid, because it says in the Pasuk, in Divrei Yomim Aleph, that says clearly that those Aliyahs do have Kedusha. Because the Pasuk says, V'yitin David l'shlema b'nai, that David gave to his son Shlema, estavnes ulam, the structure of the antechamber, that's the open area where it just then opens into the Hechel, the Espatov and its houses, and then the proper gears is V'gan Zachav, and its storage rooms, Bala Yosef, and the upper area. So here we have a pasuk clearly saying that Rav's not arguing on that. The Chadar v'Hapnimim, and the inner rooms, Ubesa Kapiris, and where the Kapiris is a reference to the area of the Kotche HaKadoshim. Uksivan, it says over there, Hakol Bechsav, everything was written, Miyad Hashem, from the hand of Hashem, Alai Hiskel, which that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me that knowledge to do. And therefore, yes, of course we know that's Kaddish, because that's a pasuk. However, don't bring a ride to the other areas of the Azara and to the areas of Yerushalayim, that there the upper stories would have a Kedusha. That doesn't. The Hechel, yes, that's what the member of Abishol was saying, that it has a greater sanctity. That says clearly in the Pasuk, Never Yomim, that it has Kedusha. So Tashema, again, the Gemara attempts to bring a ride not like Rav, that there is a Kedusha to the roofs and the upper stories in Yerushalayim and Azara, from Mishnah and Maaser Sheni. The Mishnah says, Halashachis habenuyas b'kodesh, regarding the different chambers that were built in the holy area, reference to the Azara, to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, that are upsuches l'chol, however, they open, and that is the only entrance they have, is into in a non-consecrated area. In other words, it opens up to the Har Bais, to the Temple Mount, but it doesn't have an opening into the Azara itself. Then the halacha is toichen chol, the inner area of that chamber has a halachic status of a non-consecrated area, like the Kedusha of Har Bais, not like the Azara itself. And the reason is because the main criteria that qualifies it is what it opens up into. The Gagasein Kodesh, however, its roofs are holy. One thing we see clearly is that the roofs in the Azara has the Kedusha of the Azara itself. And that contradicts Rav. And that the Gemara says, Tigim Rav Chizda interpreted, we're talking about Bishagagasein and Shoven Lekarka Azara. Their roofs were equal, were even to the ground of the Azara. And that is that these Leshaches, these chambers, were built with caves that were underneath the ground. And therefore their roofs was essentially the ground of the Azara. And yes, that's why its roof has a Kedusha, because it's the ground of the Azara. But not because it's a roof that's a higher up building, that's not on the ground, would not have a Kedusha, like Rav said. Now the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that's what it's talking about over there in that Mishnah. Even safer, look at the end of the Mishnah. It says, however, if Benuy is Bachayel, let's say they weren't built like the other case when they were built inside but opened outside. Let's say they were built outside in the Harabais, not in the Azara. Upsuches Lakodesh, however, they open up into the holy area. Their one entrance is from the Azara. Then the Halacha is Toichen Kodesh, then their internal area, that area, though it's outside, has the sanctity of the Azara. Begagai Senchal, however, their roof is unconsecrated. It doesn't have the Kedusha of the Azar. Now, V'isal Kedaitech, and if you're going to entertain like you, the way you just answered, is B'shagag Yisein Shavon Lekarka Azara, that their roof are even to the ground of the courtyard, then Havila Mechilois, it comes out that the internal area of either one, but the one that we're discussing now, when it's outside opening up into inside, that the inside area, as we said, because it's below, that it's a cave, because we're saying its roof is equal to the ground of the Azara. But V'amar Rabbi Yechon says, Mechilis Loi Niskachu. Caves, even those in the Azara, in the holy area, don't have the Kedusha of the Azara. So although he's saying, yes, the main criteria is where it opens into, and it opens up into the Azara, but if it's a Mechila, if it's a cave, then it can't have Kedusha. And yet it's saying in the Sefer that it has a Kedusha, but you just said that the cases that we're talking about is that the roof is equal to the ground, which means to say it's in the cave. And if it's in the cave, how can you say, although it opens up into the Azara, that it has Kedusha of the Azara, if Rabbi Yechon says clearly that Mechilas Aloy Neskachu? And that the Gemara says, that's not difficult for Rabbi Yechon. Because Kikam Rabbi Yechon, when did Rabbi Yechon say that the caves in the base of Migdash do not have the sanctity of the Azara itself? Are B'psuches Lahar Bais. Again, going according to the same criteria we were mentioning till now, that's when it opens up into the Temple Mount, not into the courtyard itself. And that is because Rabbi Yechon's halacha was said regarding the halacha that you have to send out the Balkari, someone that has a seminal emission has to be sent out of the Har Bais. Has to go off the Temple Mount, as the Gemara says in Eilu Dvarim. And on that, the Rabbi Yechon said that the mechilos, the caves, do not have the kedusha, and therefore, although a Balkari has to be sent out of two camps, that is the Azara, which is Machna Shechina, and then the Har Bais, which is Machna Leviya, he's allowed to go into the caves of the Har Bais, because that does not have that Kedusha. However, Kitanya Hi, when did we learn that? That Bryce said that the inside area has a Kedusha, although it's a cave, that's B'psuches Lazar, that's when it opens up into the Azar, and that's why we said this idea about B'psuches, where they open them into, that it's opening up into the Kedusha of the Chayil, because that, again, is the main criteria. So although Rabbi Yechon said that the Mechilas don't have the Kedusha, that was when it's opening into a non-Kaddish area, and that's the halacha he was talking about when he said about sending out the Balkari, that he has to go out, because that's where the opening is, from outside. But if a taco opens, if it actually opens up inside the area, then it will have the Kedusha of that area, and therefore our resolution stands, and that it is talking about Mechilas, that the roofs are equal to the ground, and that's why Gagasein will be Kaddish. But you're right, if they were real Gagas, that they were above ground, then they wouldn't have Kedusha, like Rav. But in that, the Gemara asks, but Tanya, we'll learn the Braisa, Rabbi Huda Omer, Huda says, Mechilos mitachas ahechel. How can you say the answer we just said in the response to the question from Rabbi Yechon, that Rabbi Yechon was talking about when they open up outside, but if they open up inside, that then they have the Kedusha of the Azara, even if they're a cave? But Rabbi Yehuda says clearly that Mechilis Metachas Ahechel, the caves that are underneath the sanctuary, the Beis HaMikdash building itself, Chayil has the halachic status of a non-consecrated area. Now, the Gemara assumes now that we're talking about that it's opening up into the Azara, and yet still we're saying that it's Chayil. Clearly, Rabbi Yechonon's halacha, which is what Rabbi Yehuda is mirroring, is the same concept that caves do not have a Kedusha, even if it opens up into the Azara. Because here we have it right under the building of the Beis HaMikdash itself, and it seems like it opens up into the Azara, and yet still we say that it's Chayil. Obviously, our answer that we tried answering for Rav is not true, and that Gagai saying the roofs actually, even when they're above ground, do have Kedusha. Nothing more says no. Kitanya he, when did Rabbi Yehuda say that halacha, that the caves underneath the Heichel will have a non-consecrated, will not have the Kedusha of the Azar? That's, again, Shepesuchas L'chayil, again, along the same lines that we were saying before, when they will open up outside, and that is, although you have these caves right under the sanctuary, they go in the 11 Amis behind the Kutche Kutchim, where there is an area of 11 Amis of the Azara there, and they go up until below the area of the Azara outside into the Harabayas, onto the Temple Mount, and that's why the Gemara assumed that it was under the Heichel, it was opening up into the Azara, some were saying no, it goes behind and it opens up into the Harabayas, and that's why it has the halacha of Chayil, not of Kaidish. But yes, if it would open up into the Azara, it would have the Kedusha, even according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda, since it depends on where it opens up into. So our resolution for Rav still stands. We do not find anywhere that says that the roofs and the aliyahs had a Kedusha. So Tashima, again, the Gemara continues from that which we just quoted before to being a Raya not like Rav. And that is, it says, V'gagai, that it says that the roof of the Heichel itself, Kodesh, is holy. Now, as Rashi tells us, here the Gemara cannot have answered like it said before that, what do you mean, you're going to ask from the Heichel? What do you mean, we have a pasuk for the Heichel, but it's not true. Because the roof of the Heichel is not mentioned over there in that pasuk of Divrei Yamim, that is part of what was said, that it was written, and this was from the hand of Hashem, that it should have Kedusha. And therefore, this seems to contradict Rav, that the Heichel is not going to be any different than all the other structures in Nazar and Yerushalayim. Yet we see that the Braisa says clearly that it does have a Kedusha, that it has the halachic status of Kedusha of Nazar. And that the Gemara answers, wait a second, Tizra, does it even make sense to say what you're asking on Rav? But Vakatani, we learned over there that it says that it contradicts itself. Because it says, Gagan Halolo, these roofs of the Azara and the Lashachis of these chambers, Ein Eichlin Shem Kachi Kachim, you cannot eat those elements of Kachi Kachim, which are only eaten in Azara. And Ve'ein Sheichlin Shem Kachim Kalim, you cannot slaughter Kachim Kalim, which are slaughtered everywhere in the Azara, that you cannot do on these roofs. So how can you tell me that the roofs in the Azara have Kedusha from the question you're asking me, oh, you see Gaga Kedusha from the Heichel, but you see clearly in there that the Tanaim say that no, that these roofs cannot do what's normally done in the Azara. You can't eat Kachim Kalim, you can't slaughter Kachim Kalim. So so then the Gemara says, you're right, Mevela Kasha Gaga Kedush. So there is this internal contradiction. So you're showing me that like it is like Rav, that there is no Kedusha, and that's why you can't slaughter and you can't eat. But what do we do with the fact that it says that the roof of the Heichel is Kedush? The Gemara says, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, that you want to know what it meant that it said that the roof of the Heichel, that the roofs over there had Kedusha, that was L'Oisen Beis Amas. That was a reference to the two measurements of an Amma that served for that. In other words, these roofs that had Kedusha, really it's like Rav that it didn't have Kedusha. On some level, it had a Kedusha to place the vessels that were used for Hekdesh, which were necessary for building, but not for those which were necessary for the Mizbeach, which is reference for Karbonis that Rav was talking about. And that is because we find that there were these two different measurement of Amis, which were measuring sticks, which were used, and they were placed on the height of the gates, which were essentially Gagan and Elias. And that's what's saying, that although they were put up there on top of the roofs and these upper chambers, that there was somewhat of a Kedusha to place the clay of Hekdesh, but it was only for that, but not for all the other Kedushas that we needed it for. It's not like we learned the Mishnah Masechtas Kehillim that says, Beis Amis, there were these two measuring sticks that were there to measure how big an Amma was. Now, they were Hayu B'Shushna Bira. They were in an area called Shushna Bira. And that is, as I explained in Masechtas Midas, that there was a chamber, there was a room that was built on top of the height of the gates. And that is, this was by the eastern gate, which was the image of Shushan HaBir, which is from known from the Megillah of Esther, that image of Shushan HaBir was graven over there, as the Gemara Menachos explains, because the Persians wanted to know where the Jewish people had their right to come. That was with the permission from the Persian kingdom. Now, for that was what the roofs had Kedusha. And all things similar to these two Amos measuring sticks, which were not for this great sanctity of the Tzarchim Mizbeach, of like the Karbanos themselves. But for other things, like the Tzarchim Mizbeach and all the other things, for that it did not have a Kedusha, and that it is like Rav. It's only for these measuring sticks, for that we said it has somewhat of a Kedusha to allow us to put the utensils used for building in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, regarding these two Amas, these measuring sticks of an Amma, there was Achas al Keren Mizrachet Savainis. There was these two versions of what an Amma was. One was on the northeastern corner of this room, which had the image of Shushan HaBira, v'achas ha'ken mizrach ha'zeremes, and one was on the southeastern corner. Zushal Kerem Mizrachat Zavayin is the one that was on the northeastern corner. Hayisi Yisera Shal Moshe, it was greater than the Amma of that was used by Moshe, which is Shisha Tvachim, which is six Tvachim. It had Chatzi Etzba, it was a half of a finger breadth longer than that of Moshe. And Vizushal Kerem Mizrachat Zavayin is the one that was on the southeastern corner. Hayisi Yisera Lel Chatzi Etzba was greater than the other larger one by another half a finger breadths. Nimtzis Yisera Al Shal Moshe Etzba, so it comes out that that second one was greater than the sixth tvachim of Moshe Rabbeinu's Amma by a full finger breadth. Now, v'lama hayu achas gedol of achas kana, why was there even one larger one and one smaller one? What was wrong with just using the Amma of Moshe of six tvachim? Why do we need that there should be any ones that bigger than what an Amma truly is of six tvachim? Now that the Gemara says, Shiyuho umnin, that the craftsmen, that those who were hired by the gizbar, by the one that was in charge of the hektish, to go ahead and build something for this and this amount of amas in the Beis Hamikdash, that neitlin beketana, that they would take their wages would be from how much they're going to charge according to the amma of the smaller version of amma, that which was used by Moshe Rabbeinu of six tvachim. Umachzirin, however, they would ultimately, so to speak, like pay up. They would build according to the measurements of to what they were made up with the contractor on the side of Hekdesh, Bigadayla, in the larger measurements of these two. In other words, they would say that we're going to charge you according to how long it's going to be with the smaller version of Moshe Rabbeinu. But then when they actually built, they would do it with the bigger one. And the reason was so that they should be giving up some of their own, really what's rightfully theirs, to Hekdesh, and not to do it exactingly, which would be exactly with the Moshe Rabbeinu's six tvachim, not with another extra half a etzba or a complete etzba. The reason for this was that they should not come to transgress to misappropriate the property of Hekdesh, because maybe they might not be exacting and they might do a little bit less. They're going to end up deriving pleasure from Hekdesh for nothing, and that's going to be an Isra of Me'ilah, because if you're taking money from Hekdesh inappropriately, that's Isra of Me'ilah, so they would do it more. They would do it with these larger etzba than what Moshe Rabbeinu's one. So the Gemara says, fine, so we understand why you needed a larger measurement. But Vitarti, why did they need two large ones? Lamali, what was the purpose of that? So have the one of Moshe and have one of these two. Why did they need two more sticks? One of an extra half a etzba and one of a full etzba. And that the Gemara says because it was for two different types of craftsmen. Achas lekasba b'dahava. One was for those that were working for Hekdesh that worked in gold and silver. That one was only an extra half of a finger breadth. And that is because the ones who worked in gold and silver, what they had was harder work, and that was something obviously of a more expensive quality of gold and silver. So that was only an extra half a etzba. The achas, and the other one that would add on the extra full finger breadth, that was lebinyana, that was for those that did building of with bricks. On that, they would add on to what they had made up, an extra full etzba, not a half etzba, because you want to give some room, and then the other one was gold and silver, so they made a half, but for them they would make a full one, and that was the purpose of these two extra amas that they had that were larger than the regular normative six tvachim one, because not to misappropriate from Hekdesh, one for gold and silver and one for a building. However, again, that was the things that we said that Gagoy of Heichel was Kodesh, that they would put these things, these utensils for the building. However, the halacha is like Rav, the Gemara saying, at least there's no raya counter to Rav, to say that that it had a Kedusha, it didn't have Kedusha, but Kedusha Mizbeach, for the Karbanas, for those things, that would not have the sanctity of the Azara, only for the building things it had. Now the Gemara asks to Rav from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Tanan, we learned, HaChalonis, the windows, Va'ivi HaChayma, and the thickness of the walls of Yerushalayim, Kelefnim, had halacha like inside Yerushalayim. Now, Bishlam HaChalonis very well understand that the windows, Meshkachasla, you could find this halacha of Rav, and that is because anything that's above the ground is either going to be a roof or an upper story. So we have to find somehow that it could be equal to the ground, because only then will it have the sanctity of Yerushalayim or the Azar. So we could understand that you could have a window, the Shavi Lekarka Azar, because that could be equal to the ground of the Azar. The Azar's ground is not perfectly flat, as the Gemara will illustrate momentarily, and therefore, since it's high, you can have a window even towards the bottom of the wall, but that the window could be flush with the ground itself. And that's why it will have a kedusha of what's inside. But the thickness of the wall, how can you have the thickness of the wall to have a kedusha of the inside of the area that we're talking about, be it the Azara, but how can you have a wall which was so high that to have the kedusha of what's inside of it, if even what's inside of it is only when it's flush with the ground. Now that the Gemara says mishkachas, you could have such a case bebar shura, with a small wall that was within the larger wall, which was smaller and that was equal to the ground that was the height of the azara, and that's because the ground of the azara would be going continuously higher, which would then be flush to what would be the roofs and the upper stories. Like it says in the pasuk in Eicha, ve'yavel chel v'chayma, that he made the lower wall and the walls mourn. And some say Reb Chanina, that's a reference to Shuru Ubar Shur. That's a reference to the wall and the lower wall, and that is there is a possibility that although it's a wall, but since the ground is getting continuously higher, that the top of the wall will be flush with the ground. And that is what we meant when we said that the internal area of the windows and the top of the wall will have the kedusha of what's inside of it, although even what's inside of it, as Rav said, has to be on the ground, not roofs and in higher up areas. However, this is possible to be both with windows and the top of the wall to be flush with the ground, and that's what had kedusha of what's inside of it. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnayos, talking about the psul of yoytze, of something going out from the area it's allowed to be. And this is somewhat of a subcategory of that halacha, which means going out regarding the eating of the Karban Pesach, its psul yoytze is going from one group to another group. Not only taking it out of Yerushalayim, but even from the group that you're eating in to another group. So the Mishnah begins. Shticha buris shahayo eichlin, two groups that were eating one Karban Pesach, bebayis echad, in one house, but there were two different groups. They had split the Karban Pesach. So elu heifchen es peneim heilech va'eichlin, this group, they turn their face that one way and they eat. Ve'elu heifchen es peneim heilech va'eichlin, and this group, they can turn their face the other way and they can eat. And that is, they don't have to go ahead and are misubin, they don't have to lean together in one meal, one facing the other, that they should seem like one group. Rather, they're allowed to go ahead and turn their face in different directions, and even though they look like two different groups, that doesn't bother us, because as the Gemara will explain, that one Karban Pesach could even be eaten in two different houses to two different groups. Most definitely, when they're in one house, there's no problem about the fact that they're two different groups, even though it's one Karban Pesach. And now the Mishnah tells us that it's so much so that they could be seeming like two different groups, and that it's even v'hameichem, that the hot water kettle that they would use to dilute the wine, they were allowed to place it be'emtza in between the two groups so that it should be easier for the shamash, for the attendant that's serving both of these groups, to dilute their wines on either side, and that they don't have to change it how it usually is, how it's placed in the middle, even though, again, that this is separating between the two groups. Again, it doesn't make a difference because we're not concerned they could be two different groups. Now, kishashamash, when the attendant who's serving both of these groups, when he's oimin, when he gets up from one group, that is, he started eating from one group, the Karban Pesach, and now he stands up, limzik, to go ahead and dilute the wine for the other group because he's serving them too. So kaifetz as piv, he closes his mouth, umachzer as ponav, and he turns his face towards the group that he was eating with, that they should not suspect him that he's eating with the other group. And that's because this Tanna of our Mishnah holds that there's really two different halachas. The Karban Pesach could be eaten. In other words, the Karban Pesach itself could be split into two different groups. But one person cannot eat in two different places from that Karban Pesach. And that's why it's talking about a case when they're eating it at one house, because one person cannot eat in two different houses, and the two different groups that turning their faces away from each other have halacha like two different groups. So since he doesn't want them to suspect him that he's eating from their Karban Pesach, because although it's the same Karban Pesach, doesn't make a difference. They're two different groups, and one person cannot eat in two different places. So he turns his face towards the group that everyone should see where he's coming from, until he comes back to the group where he is eating, and he continues to eat. Now, related to these halachas, the Mishnah concludes and says, v'hakala, the bride who's embarrassed, hayfeches es paneh, she could turn her face. In other words, she's allowed to turn her face in the other direction, v'hakala, and she could eat her Karban Pesach facing away from everybody, as we said, because although then, essentially, when you turn your face away, you become like a different group, it doesn't make a difference, because one Karban Pesach could be eaten in different chaburis, in different groups, and therefore, she could be her own group, but again, that allows her to turn her face away because of the embarrassment that she has. It's not a problem that the same Karban Pesach is eaten in a different group. Now the Gemara asks, Masnitin Mani, who is the town of a Mishnah? Essentially, as we explained the Mishnah, there's two different halachas that are being said. One is the fact that the same Karban Pesach could be split into two different groups, and essentially even to two different houses, whereas one person cannot eat it in two different places. And that's why we said that he turned his face to his group, that they shouldn't suspect him that he's eating in this quote other place, which is where the other group is. And that the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda. It's the time Rabbi Yehuda, the time like within the Braisa, that this is a machlekes. There's a pasuk in Shemais that says, Al habotim asher yichlu oisoi behem, that on the houses in which they're going to eat them. Now, the understanding of this pasuk sounds like that we're talking about two different people eating from one Karban Pesach in two different houses, as Rashi explains. Because the pasuk says yichlu, that they will eat. That's a reference of two people. It says oisoi, it, which is a reference to one Karban Pesach. And it says habotim, the houses, which are two different houses. So it sounds like two different people eating from one Karban Pesach in two different houses. So Malamed, Rebbe Yehuda says, that teaches us, Shapesach Nechel B'Shtei Chaburus, that one Karban Pesach could be split into two different groups, and even two different houses, that's not a problem. So that's one halacha that we said in our Mishnah. Yochel Yehei Eichel, but you would think that the one who's eating it, in other words, one person, you would think, could be Eichel B'Shtei Mekayim, that he could eat in two different places, which would be similar to the halacha that the Karban Pesach could be eaten in two different places. So to one person, he could eat it in two different places, for example, in two rooms, or two groups that are facing in different directions from each other. You would think that that would be allowed. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk says, Bebayis Echad Yeochel, that in one house, it should be eaten. That is, Rabbi Yehuda holds, and as the Gemara will explain on Amud Beis, he holds what's called Yesh Eim LeMesayris. There's a famous machlekes of Yesh Eim LeMesayris or Yesh Eim LeMikra. What is primacy in halacha? The way the Mesayris of something is, in other words, how our tradition of how something is written in the Torah, or how it's pronounced. And that Rabbi Yehuda holds Yesh Eim LeMesayris, how it's written. Now, although it's pronounced Ye'achel, it should be eaten, the way it's written is Ye'achal, that he will eat. Which, if then you would read the pasuk bebayis echad yoichel, that he will eat in one house, sounds like that one person has to eat it bebayis echad in one house and not in two houses. However, regarding the consumption of the Karban Pesach itself, regarding many different people, that's what the pasuk had said before, as we mentioned, batim, that could be eaten in many different houses. And therefore, we find both halachas that our Mishnah said, exactly like Rabbi Yehuda said, and he's the Tana of our Mishnah. One person cannot eat in two different, quote, houses, which would mean two different groups. He can't eat in a different area. But the Karban Pesach itself could be in Batim, that two people could eat one Karban Pesach in two different houses. And that, Mikan Amr, from here, is this is what they had said, to Hashamish, that the attendant who was roasting the Karban Pesach, and he forgot, and he put a kezayis of the Karban Pesach into his mouth, that he ate a kezayis of the Karban Pesach on the side of the oven, and he was supposed to be part of that group. He had already joined up in that group. Now, if he's intelligent and be smart, he's going to fill up his stomach from the Karban Pesach where he is. Because if he gets up, he can't eat anymore, as Rabbi Yehuda just said, because one person cannot eat in two different places. They're not eating their Karban Pesach by the side of the oven. He's roasting it there. But it's therefore, if he has to get up and go elsewhere where they're eating the Karban Pesach, he can't eat anymore because he can't eat in two different places. However, if the people of the group want to do a favor to him, because or else he's stuck, he's going to have to eat his whole Karban Pesach right over here because he started over here. But if they want to do him a favor, they come and they sit by the side of him, and therefore that becomes the place. He won't have to go ahead and stuff himself right here and to rush it. Rather, everyone's going to come and they'll eat the Karban Pesach over there. Therefore, he won't be stuck in the other area not being able to eat. That's the opinion of Yehuda. Whereas Rabbi Shimon argues and he says basically the reverse of the interpretation of the psukim than how Rabbi Yehuda had said it. He learns the pasuk, Alabatim asher yechlu oisa behem, that on the houses of in which they will eat the Karban Pesach in them, Melamitcho Eichel Eichel B'Shtei Mekayimus. To the contrary, he says, from there you learn that the one that eats the Karban Pesach could eat it in two different places. And that is, he learns when the pasuk says Yechlu, that's a reference to each individual of the Eichlin, of these people, that they could eat it behem in these two different batim, in these two different houses. So you see that one person could eat it in the different houses. Now, he continues his logic on Amud Beis. So, now, Yochel Yehei, now you would think that the actual Karban Pesach itself would be Nechel B'Shtei Chaburus, could be eaten in two different groups. That is, you could take the Karban Pesach and split it, have one group eat here, one group eat here, because we see one person could eat in one place and then another place. Tamalema, that's what the Pesach teaches. Again, the opposite of how Rabbi Yehuda said it. Bebayis Echad Yeochel, that in one house it could be eaten, which is a reference to the Karban Pesach. It cannot be eaten in two different houses, two different groups. It has to be eaten in one group. So the Gemara asks, "Mamaykamivki, what is the understanding of this machlekes about the Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon?" Says, as we have explained, Rabbi Yehuda Savar Yesh Im LeMisayrus. He holds that the tradition of how it's written is the primary one, and therefore, as we'd explained, that's why he interprets the one of allowing it in two different areas as going on the Korban Pesach, and the one disallowing it is going on the person, and that's why, exactly like our Mishnah, that one person cannot eat in two different places, but the Korban Pesach itself could be split into two different groups. Whereas Reb Shimon Sava, he holds Yesh Im LeMikra, that primacy in halacha is the how things are pronounced. And the pasuk says, Lo ye, that Bebayis Echad Ye Ochel, that at one house it should be eaten, which is a reference to the Korban Pesach, not to the person. So essentially what Reb Shimon is saying is that the intention of when one is coming to eat is that it should be eaten in one group, and the Korban Pesach itself should not be split into two groups. That's what the pasuk says, Bebayis Echad Ye Ochel, in one house, in one group it should be eaten. But the person himself, if he wants, he could start here and eat somewhere else, because the pasuk, the Torah, is only particular about the beginning of the carbon itself. The carbon should not be split into two different groups. However, once someone started eating over here, he can then go somewhere else from the fact that it says, Ye Ochel, it should not be eaten. The Pesach should not be. But not, there's no problem of Lo Yoichal of the person himself. He could start over here where the Korban Pesach starts, and he could go elsewhere again, because Reb Shimon holds to interpret the Pesukim otherwise, that Yesh Im LeMikra, that's the primary one. Now, the Gemara now says two differences that are going to come out between these two pshatim of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding where do we define the Isser of one person eating in two places, or the Isser is having the Korban Pesach being eaten in two different places. As the Gemara explains, Hayu Yeshvin, if they were sitting in one group eating one Korban Pesach, V'nifrasa mechitza beinem, and then there was a drawn down, somebody put up a partition between the group. And that is, it was a large group, and somebody put a mechitza between the two of them. Now, essentially what happens is they became two different groups. L'divri ha'imer, according to the one that says, that's a reference to Rabbi Yehuda, that Pesach nechel b'shtei chaburis, the Korban Pesach, as our Mishnah said, could be eaten in two different groups. So eichlin, they could continue to complete their eating. And that is because we're not concerned that the two different groups, the Korban Pesach, could be eaten in two different groups. Now Rashi addresses, although the one that holds, that is Rabbi Yehuda, that the Korban Pesach could be eaten in two different groups, but he says it's forbidden for one person to eat in two different places, here he says not a problem, because each group does not become considered as if it's another place right now, the fact that it's cut off from the other place, because it's not seeing new ear space that it didn't see up until now, therefore it's not considered a new place. To the contrary, if anything, the space got smaller, because now the partition was partitioned off from the other area. So you're not like as if you're eating somewhere else, you're still eating the same area, so you're not having that problem. And the fact that the Korban Pesach has two different groups, that's not a problem either. Whereas L'divri Ho'im, according to the one that says, that's a reference to Reb Shimon, that Eina Pesach Nechel B'Shtei Chaburis, he holds to the opposite, that the Korban Pesach cannot be split into two different groups. Then Eina Eichlin, in this case where the partition was put up in the middle, now you have two different groups eating the same Korban Pesach, that's wrong. That would not be able to, you can't eat like that, because the Korban Pesach cannot be eaten in two different groups. As that's how he learns up at the Pasuk, B'Bayis Achel Yo'achel, in one house, in one group it has to be eaten. Now, the second differences would be, if they were sitting, two different groups were sitting in two different houses, and they were eating their separate Korban Pesachs. But v'nistalka mechitza b'nein, let's say they had a townhouse, and now the wall between them came down, so now you have two different groups eating two different Korban Pesachs, but now they're, in, so to speak, in this one large area that everyone sees a new air space they didn't see up until now. What essentially happens is that the group that you're in now becomes like a different area, because you're eating in the first place you were, and now you're eating in the second area now also, because by virtue of the wall coming down. Therefore, L'divi Ha'im, according to the one that says, and that's a reference to Reb Shimon, that Ha'oichel Oichel B'Shtei Mekayim is, he only has a problem with the Korban Pesach eating in two different places. Here it's in the same place where it was. It's just that one person cannot eat in two different places. Then Oichlin, you could, because he has no problem about one person eating in a different place. So though now he's quote-unquote in the second place too, that's not a problem. But L'divri Ha'im, according to the one that says, and that's reference to Rabbi Yehuda, that Eino Ha'echel Eichel B'Shnei Mekayim is, the one person that's eating, when he starts eating in one place, he cannot eat somewhere else. Eino Ha'echel, you can't continue to eat, because now, although you're eating in where you originally was, but you're also eating in a new area, and that's a problem. You can't eat in two different places, and therefore, up until the new wall goes up, for that time, you can't go ahead and eat the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara brings that Yasser Rav Kahana was sitting, Kapashat Le Mifshit. He was saying over this statement as if it was obvious and explicitly like this, like we said, that the putting up of a wall would make them into two different groups and the removal of the wall would make them into two different places. And he wasn't doubtful about it as if maybe this would be the halacha. He was saying it over like what's called davar pashut. Amali Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana, v'tibay l'chibaya, you should ask it as a question. Siluk mechitza, the removal of the wall, v'asis mechitza, and the making of the wall, mihave kebez mekaymes ukebez chaboros dami, is it like the halachi status of now being two different places or of being two different groups? Oiloi, or not? In other words, that's a good question. How do you know as a devar pashut? And at that, take, let it stand, it's not so clear. It is questionable if that would be the case. You can't just say it's so obvious that removing the wall or putting up the wall will be as if now it's another area, so to speak, or that it's two different groups when you put up a wall. And therefore he says that let the question stand. It's not clear what the halacha would be if that would be even something that would pertain to the machlekes about the Yehudi Rim Shim. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that said, Hakala Haifeches Espana. The bride can turn her face, and as we said, although that, quote, now she'll be like a different group when you turn your face away, that's not a concern because as Rabbi Huda, who's the Talmid of a Mishnah, holds the Karban Pesach could be eaten but nechel b'shtei chaburos. But that the Gemara asks, my timer, why does she have to turn her face away? What, in other words, what's so normal about it that we said, oh, the bride could turn her face. Why would she turn her face? And that Amr Mechir Bar Abba, Rabbi Yechanan, because she's embarrassed. She's embarrassed to eat what all the men looking at her, because they're looking at the bride, it's embarrassing for her. So she's allowed to turn her face, and that's not a halachic problem, because as we said, it could be eaten b'shtei chaburos. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this, that Rav Huna Bereid Rav Nassan, Ikla Labeir of Nachmi Yitzchak, he went to the household of Nachmi Yitzchak. Amr Lehi, they said to Mashmecha, what's your name? So Amr Lehi said to them, Rav Huna, my name is Rav Huna. Amr, they said, Nesiv Marapuri, let the master sit on the couch. So Yosef, he sat down on the couch. Now, the couch where they would recline was a sign of dignity. But the non-such chashav people, they would sit on chairs, and it seemed like Rav Huna was making himself dignified by taking that offer and reclining on the couch. Yavalei Kisa, they gave him a cup of wine. Kibli b'chad zimna, he accepted on the first time that they asked him. He didn't refuse until they said, no, please, please take. He took it right away. Vishasi betrays him then. He drank it in two gulps, and he only stopped once in between. And Veloyahander Ape, he also did not turn his face to the side. He drank right in front of them. He had no problem. Amrulay, they said to him, Mike Taima Karas Lach Rav Huna. Why do they call you, quote, Rav Huna? What's so great about you? It seems to be that you're not such a great person based on what you had done. Amrulay, he said to them, Palashemani, you want to know why I told you my name is Rav Huna? Because that's the name that they used to call me from when I was a little kid. They have already have, that's what how people know me. They always call me by Rav Huna. But then they said, my time ki amar lach, nesav apuri. Why is it when we told you sit on the couch, yisavta, you sat down, you didn't sit on the ground, you didn't even sit on the chair, you went all the way to the couch. And they were asking him these questions because it seemed puzzling to them that he would do things that most people don't do. You know, he went and took such things, which shows that as if he's some great person and it's not proper for Talmud Chacham to do things like that. So Amar Lehi said to them, what do you mean? Kol mashe yoymelucha balabayis asay, whatever the homeowner tells you to do, you do. Chutz mitzay, and some are gairis, except for going out. And this is a masnita in Masechtas Derech Eretz. And therefore, you told me to sit, I sat. You're right, I normally wouldn't. I would sit on the ground maybe or a chair. But you told me to do that, you're the balabayis. So whatever the balabayis tells you to do, you do. So, ma'itami ki yavaloch kisa kabelta b'chad zimna. Why is it when we offered you the cup of wine? In one time, you right away took it. Most people refuse to be polite. So, Amalui said to them, again, that's a halacha. Misavron l'katan, you can refuse someone that's not so great. You don't have to accept what he tells you until he pressures you. Whereas, if it ain't misavron l'gadol, you can't refuse a great person. And that is, you're a great person. I couldn't refuse that. You told me to take it. As we find by the angels, where they told Avram Avinu, when they told him to do something, they said, Kenta, so we're going to do what you say. Because Avram Avinu was a great person. And they didn't refuse him. Whereas by light, they said, no, Kibruchev Nolan, we're going to sleep in the street. Until he went, they pressured them. Because you could refuse a small person, but a great person like Avram Avinu, or like you, I couldn't refuse. And that's why I took it on the first time. But then they asked him, my time Ashtisa betray Zimne. Why do you drink it in two gulps? So Amar Lehi said to them, "Detanya, that's a brisa that says Hashesa Kisa Vasachas. Someone that drinks his cup of wine in one shot, Sahariza Gargrin, that's a guzzler. Shnaim and two times Derech Eretz, that's the normative way. That's the custom of the people of the land. Shleish, if you do it in more than that, three times, that's Megaseh Ruach. That's someone that's sign of haughtiness that he drinks it slowly and it's you know for him he takes a longer time. That's why I drank it in two times, as the brisa says. That's Derech Eretz." Finally, they asked him, "My time of the Hadras Apach, why didn't you turn your face away? You're just drinking in front of us. It doesn't seem like you have the midah of busha." So Amalehi said to them, "Wait a second. Kalo hefeches paneh atanan." In our Mishnah, and this is where it comes related, we learned that the bride turns her face away when she's drinking. Which you see from that Mishnah, that it's not normative for a man to turn his face away. A man drinks, he drinks. The kala, the bride, that embarrassed, she's embarrassed at people looking at her, so she turns her face away. But normally we see that a person drinks in front of people and there's no problem with that. Now the Gemara brings another story, again related to this idea about this halacha about drinking, how many times it takes to drink a cup of wine. B'shmol b'Reb Yesi, ikul b'Reb Shimon b'Reb Yesi ben Lekunya. So he went to this house, and Yovel Kisa, they gave him a cup of wine. Kibli b'chad zimna, again, he took it on the first shot. Now we know already because Eman Sarvan Legadol. V'shasi b'chad zimna, however, he drank it in one gulp. So Amalei, they said to him, Leisav Lamar, don't you hold at least that this b'raisa says, Hashesa Kisa b'vas achas, if you drink a cup in one shot, Hariza Gargren, you're a guzzler, how can you go ahead and drink it in one shot? So Amalehi said to them, there's three differences over here. Because Le'amri, they did not say this halacha, b'kaisach katan, your cups that are very small, v'yenach masuk, and that the fact that your wine is very sweet, and v'kris rechava, my stomach is very wide, and that is as we find in the Gemara in Bava Metzi, Daf Pidal Amanaf, that says, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yesi had a very wide stomach, and therefore, this is a little bit different because of these three different criteria that I mentioned, and that's why I drank it in one gulp. Now, a related halacha, which Rashi says is not related to the halachas of Karban Pesach specifically, Amar Rav Huna says that b'nei chabur, the people of a group, and that is when they have an attendant, a shamish, that's serving them in their meal, the halacha is, nechnasin b'shleisha, they enter with three people to recline for the meal. And that is, if let's say one or two people would come and they're reclining, they're waiting for the waiter to serve them, he doesn't have to serve them yet. It only starts the mealtime when at least three people come in. And another halacha is v'yaitzin, that whenever anybody finishes their meal, if they want to go out, they could leave a filib echad, even one person at a time. And even though it's going to be very hard for the waiter to now serve just the leftover people that are still there, it doesn't make a difference. When you leave, you can leave, and he still has to continue serving for the leftover people. However, qualification on this halacha, Amar Rabba, Rabba says, however, this is v'hu de'ayil be'idna derekili l'meil. This is only if they're coming and leaving at the normal times, and that is that the last one does not stay longer than the meal, so much longer than the other people that are eating the meal. And also that those who, even the three that are coming in the beginning, they don't come early on, too early, that the waiter's going to have to be there for such a long time that he's coming so early and then staying so late for the last people that are eating the meal. And moreover, that the waiter has to be aware of this, that they told him that this is how we do it. That, you know, when three people come, we start already. And that people will leave one at a time. And that is because since it's very difficult for the waiter to serve just a few individuals that are still there at the end, it doesn't make a difference as long as they told them that is the halacha that it is, that it starts with three, and that they could leave one by one, even though there's going to be individuals left. Moreover, Ravina says, "V'noisn is schar damim," that the last two, the last ones that are left there, have to give more money to the waiter. But tzarcha achron lahizav damim, and the last one there has to add even more money to the waiter. However, the Gemara concludes, "V'less hachasakav," say there is no such halacha. They all pay the same amount, and even if he takes longer, and there's one guy that takes even the longest, he doesn't have to add any more money than any other. The person, it's just that, as we said, it starts with three, and it'll end even if there's going to be some individuals left. Hanu lach ketzah tzolim, we shall return to you the seventh parak of Masechta Pesachim, parak ketzah tzolim.